transform your mind, transform your life, and transform your world. This is the Transformed Podcast.
So happy you're joining us today. This is our season finale of season 2, episode 13. And I think, you know, this has been a good season. We've had a lot of great topics. I've heard a lot of good feedback about the season, that it's been challenging. And that's good. That's what we want to do. You know, we want to challenge ourselves and push ourselves to be better Christians today than we were yesterday. And so I do hope that this particular series has given you some things to think about, given you some things to take a closer look at, and hopefully given you some things to transform in your life. At the end of this, we're going to be changing it up once this episode's done.
We're going to be transforming the podcast a little bit.
Yes. Since we have this reading plan coming out in 2023.
That's right. In case you haven't heard.
Join us. Craig.
Yeah, join us for the 2023 Daily Bible Reading Challenge. And we hope that this engagement with God's Word leaves you transformed.
Like a human ad right there. But yeah, we do hope that. And so we're going to tailor our podcast to follow along with that reading plan. And hopefully still prefer to be offering the same challenging content. And I like our 3-stage format. I think that's going to stay the same. But we're going to be following along with the reading plan. And also, we're going to utilize the podcast to help with our weekly devotionals so that at least a few of them, so that way you can use them to sit down with your family, or if you're on the road somewhere, then y'all can still have that devotional to use. So we hope this is a good thing.
Well, we're trying to do the 3 segments with the transform your mind, transform your life, transform your world.
Yes.
So we're going to start maybe with a more introspective doctrinal approach, and then we want to branch that out, and then we want to branch it out and kind of end the podcast with some practical things. But I think as well, you know, what you said about tapping into the daily Bible reading, going back, looking at the sermons maybe that week, how we can play that out, how that's going to work in our own lives, coming in contact with others, and make it a tool that is, let's just be honest about it. If we've already done the work that week, unpacking a sermon and preparing a sermon, it makes it a little bit more difficult on the podcast to come up with something that's different than what we've already planned and what we talked about. So it makes it a little bit easier for us, but it also gives us another avenue where we can address this similar things from a different angle, maybe.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're shooting for there.
Yeah, I was going to say, there. You might, with the upcoming year, you may expect some overflow from the sermon into the podcast, and probably particularly because, Craig, you and I have both talked before, that usually when you're done with a sermon, you're like, oh, well, I could have said this or I could have done that.
That's
probably the type of content that's going to overflow into the podcast.
Yeah. And you always, when you preach, you know this, you always leave something on the table that you intended to say, or like, oh, I meant to use this illustration.
Yes.
Or I meant to do this scripture. Now, the preacher is the only one that knows that. Right. Sometimes I tell Linda, I was like, oh, I was wanting to say this or say that, and it slipped my mind, you know. And so maybe we can, some of those things that that don't make it into the sermon will be used as exclusive bonus content.
There we go.
Only in the podcast. So
free of charge.
Free of charge.
Free of charge. Now, before we begin, I have to say, Craig, I'm a little disappointed, just a little, in our listeners, because a couple of episodes back, we mentioned whether or not we felt, we asked them if they would reply in whether or not they felt we should sing some Christmas carols, and we've got no replies.
No reply. I think no reply is a green light, I think.
Oh, is that what that means?
I think that's what's going on there.
Okay.
So you get the get Mr. Grinch geared up, and I'll get some Rat Pack, some Sinatra, Nat King Cole, and Dean Martin ready to go. I like the older Christmas songs, man, like the classic Christmas music.
Yeah,
I borrowed Reed's truck for a while last year when I went down to Mississippi and back, and I may just have to find a reason to borrow his truck again this year, because on the satellite radio, there's a classic Christmas channel.
There you go.
And I listen to that all the way down, all the way back. I've always enjoyed singing like the, just like the old school, you know, like kind of the older Christmas carols, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who had the baritone voice.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Like some of the, you know, the Rat Pack I mentioned a moment ago, that's always been where my vocal range is at. So, mm-hmm. When you're, you know, chestnuts roasting.
There you go.
On an open fire. So yeah. Just your, kind of your slower classic stuff. Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Martin, Let It Snow. Mm-hmm. Right. So you a lot of good ones that fell in that era. And modern musicians and singers cannot duplicate.
No.
Those things, you know, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
So,
all right. Well, yeah.
Our topic today, we're going to be talking about our thoughts, right? So we've called it "Think on These Things." That's obviously from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Meditate or think on these things. Yeah. And let's go ahead and start this first segment and launch from Romans chapter 12, and then we'll hit a few others and just kind of see how it goes today.
Okay. So for this thought, I as I was reading through Romans 12, you know, I read verse 14, which says this: bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And just a question came to my mind. I said, well, how do you do that? How do you get to that point? You don't just decide, all right, I'm not going to be offended anymore, and I'm just going to bless people no matter what they do. That'd be nice if we could just flip that switch on, you know, just find it somewhere in the back of our head, and boop, there we go. But that's not how that works. And so I began to wonder, okay, well, how do we get to that point? How do we get there? And as always, when you're trying to develop a habit or develop something, you have to start from the bottom and have a good foundation and then build on top of it. And so at the bottom of, now bless, you know, just that word there, bless, that's kind of ambiguous. And what I mean is bless could be through words and actions. you could bless someone with a kind word, but you could also bless with them with a gift or handing them something that they needed. And so you could go both ways. And so since both are included in the blessing of another person, I would say that, so we have to start at the bottom. And what's rooted in our actions and our words is our thoughts. That's the bottom. That's the foundation. So we have to get our thoughts right before we can start speaking things that are right and before we can start doing things that are right. And so how do we accomplish that? Well, we have to take our thoughts seriously. And you asked me a question. We were kind of talking beforehand. You asked a question. How many thoughts do you have in a day? You wager a guess?
I don't know. Did you look it up?
I didn't.
I didn't either. But the first response is, let me think about that a minute. And you're like, one.
It's one.
Right. But I mean, Romans 12 deals with the thought process. And let me read a few verses here. Go back to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the thought process there, right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The concept of thought or thinking is three times in that verse, right? Not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And then you read a little bit later in verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. So again, in verse 16, we're dealing with the mind as well and the thought process. And that really is the foundation of all of Scripture, if you're going to be honest with it. It's the thought process that we are going to allow God's thoughts to be our thoughts, and we are going to transform our minds when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to doctrine, or when it comes to human relationships or family or whatever it is, that we are going to adopt God's mindset. We are going to take on his thought process and consider his thought process rather than our own.
Yeah. And I think going back to the idea of thinking soberly or to have sober judgment, I think about, a judge presiding over a court case. What is the role of the judge? Well, he's to hear the case in an impartial manner.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to hear the defense and the prosecution and to weigh both sides and to come out with a sober, or we might say fair, judgment based on what he's been presented. And that's likewise, we are to do the same in our own lives. And particularly here, it's about ourselves, right? Not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. So we are to, in some sense, step outside of ourselves and observe who we are, what our abilities are, what our social status is, you know, where our faith's at. And we should hear our own case fairly from both sides. We should freely acknowledge our weaknesses and freely acknowledge our strengths, but we are not to be heavy-handed in on either side. But we are to hear both sides completely and totally and give them a fair chance so that we know how to proceed. And it's people that don't do that that end up, thinking too much of themselves, right? Or making fools of themselves, or speaking when they shouldn't speak. Or they end up lying about something because they think they can handle it and they haven't taken into account their inability, because they don't want to consider that. It gets us into a lot of trouble.
Well, all of these processes here in Romans chapter 12 are intentional. right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that Sunday for our sermon. Well, again, we're recording this the week before, but Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about the family, the role of the father, the role of the mother, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the role of the kids, that spirituality in the family unit needs to be intentional. It has to be. And spirituality in the individual has to be intentional. And what we mean by that is you're going to do things different. You're going to do things contrary to what you would normally do if you were unswayed by God's word. And that's really what we're dealing with when we're talking about thought process is, you know, there are some people who claim to be Christians, who say they're Christians, who have never sacrificed anything. They've never let go of anything. And what we're trying to communicate with this portion of the podcast is that person is an impossibility, right? Because sacrifice has to be made. And that thought process, again, going back to verse 2, that thought process has to be changed. It has to be transformed and ultimately align with what God would have us to do. And it's tough to do that. I mean, it is.
Yeah, because you don't only have to contend with just yourself. It's not just you that influences you, but there are others that influence you and many, many others. And that really depends on how many friends you have versus how much entertainment you take in and all that. So it's variable to a degree, but it's not just you. The Word of God recognizes this. It brings that out in Proverbs chapter 23. Mm-hmm. We're warned, do not eat the bread of a man who is, now ESV translates it stingy, but the Hebrew there is whose eye is evil. Mm-hmm. So, but do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy, do not desire his delicacies. Why? Well, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you.
Yeah, and again, that concept there in verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
Right? So, you see that concept as well. In the Gospels, and maybe we hold off on that, looking at the Gospels, accounts of Jesus bringing that out. We'll just pick that up again in the second segment.
All right.
As you well know, the holiday season is often a difficult time of the year for those who have lost a loved one. I'd like to encourage you this holiday season to consider bringing a church member who has lost a loved one this year into your home to spend time with them, to listen to them, to get to know them. And we have to understand that that relationship cannot be replaced. But what we want to try to do is create new memories. So I'd like to encourage you, spend time this holiday season with someone outside of your family. Make a special effort to include them in your holiday plans this year.
We are back with the Transform Podcast. When we left off a moment ago, we are in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And we see these principles in the New Testament a couple of times in Jesus's interaction, I think, with the religious leaders. Is that right?
Yes. In Matthew chapter 12, and you've got verses 34 through 37.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus there says, he is talking to the religious leaders. He calls them, you brood of vipers. We've heard that They were called that several times.
Yeah, he adopted that from John. That's a pretty good pretty good analogy there.
He asked them, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And we visited this verse before when we were talking about words matter.
Yeah. The seed of every word is a thought.
That's right.
The seed of every action is a thought. Right? So the concept there is taking every thought into captivity. I think it's Paul that mentions that, right? This concept of I take every thought into subjection, take every thought into captivity, because ultimately he knew that those thoughts were going to materialize in either words or they were going to materialize in action. And in the text here of Matthew chapter 12, they materialized from the religious leaders in disdain for Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, he calls them out on their sinful thoughts there.
Yeah, we're supposed to, the picture that I want everyone, our listeners to see here is that bringing every thought captive, and Paul makes a distinction, making captive to Christ. Mm-hmm. The idea is one of complete and total submission. We could even say sacrifice. That every thought that we have should not be just unto ourselves alone, but that it should be subject to Christ. And by extension, then every word we speak and every act that we do. And so that's what it would look like, to where every action, every word, every thought is brought under the control of Christ, and that we have fully sacrificed and submitted ourselves to him. This idea comes up again, I think, in Luke. You have it there, Luke chapter 6.
Yeah, Luke 6, a similar context here, Luke 6, 43 to 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So again, the seed there is the heart. And that heart or the mind or the thought.
The inward person.
The inward person. Yeah. You may even say the intellectual part of man, that before you speak, you have to think about that. You have to put words together and, you know. I'm at a loss for thought right now. I'm just being silly, but that, you know, we understand that's where those things come from. You have to think through what you're going to say. You come up to a four-way stop, you have to think through what you're going to do. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's my whole life. It's been terrible. People have no clue how to drive. I drive back and forth to Memphis every week, and it's ridiculous. They're get off the phone, buddy. Put the phone down. Quit texting. Quit watching the ball game. Whatever in the world you're doing, and drive. Mm-hmm. Right, because there is some thought that has to be involved there. And so when you're texting and you're driving at the same time, you're distracted. And so you're kind of torn. Again, going back to this concept of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, rather than bringing every thought captive and focusing it on the road, you're disconnected from the road. You're halfway in your phone. You're halfway in the road. Guess what? Bad things are going to happen there. And that's
you halfway off.
You're going to be halfway off the road. You're going to be like the guy in the diesel flatbed dually this past Thursday, halfway in my lane, almost running me off the road. But again, the concept is there, and from a spiritual perspective, we're really dealing with loyalty there. And I think in both of these texts, in Matthew 12 and in Luke 6, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders who are, they're torn with their loyalty. In one side, they want to be loyal to God, but in the other side, they love the praises of men, and they want to be loyal to the praises of men. And as Jesus says, no man can serve both masters. No man can serve two masters. Either he's going to be loyal to one, despise the other. He's going to love one. He's going to hate the other. And when we bring those thoughts into captivity, into subjection, before we speak, before we act, and again, going back to that verse you looked at a moment ago in Romans chapter 12, what was the verse you launched from there?
14.
Romans 12, verse 14. That is a conscious decision that a person has to make before that moment ever comes up. If I'm persecuted, if I'm abused, if I'm misused, if I'm mistreated, if somebody says something ugly to me, how am I going to respond in that moment? And Paul says there, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. It's as if you've already worked out that thought in your mind as to how that situation is going to go.
Yeah. And this is a real, a very real thing that, that affects all of us. We're going to have people that are going to be rude to us. That's just going to happen. You can't avoid that. I was talking with my daughter just the other day. She was telling me about her friend group there at school. And there's this one particular girl who has something to say about everything that she says. And she was telling me about how, and I just let her talk. And she was telling me about how she was going to respond and what she was going to do. And it was a fight fire with fire approach. And I told her, I said, Allie, that's not going to get you anywhere. Yeah. That's not going to get you anywhere. It's only going to make things worse. And I asked her, would you genuinely want this person for a friend? And she said, yeah, I would. I said, okay, well, then you're never going to get it by fighting fire with fire. You've got to turn the other cheek. You've got to show kindness. You have to. That's how you make a friend. You're never going to make a friend by attacking them. It's not going to work.
Well, some people, what they say and what they do, it's just, it's too dumb to even respond to. I mean, you know, why do I have to respond in this? And the answer is you don't, right? But we're talking about, the, especially in Romans 12, this whole context, starting in verse 14, going down through the next several verses. We've covered verse 18 in one of our previous ones. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men.
Yeah.
And where does that start? That starts in the confines of your mind. You've made a conscious decision. Well, I have this friend at school. I have this coworker. I have this other, whatever the relationship is. And it's strained. And well, guess what? You be the bigger person. You make that decision. You think through how you're going to react, how you're going to respond. Every word, every deed, every action, the seed of those things is the thought. That's where it begins.
Yeah, I want to ask a question. So when we're talking about thinking on these things, well, does that mean anything that sounds good? Or are we talking about very specific things?
Well, maybe we go to Philippians chapter 4 and just read the verse.
Let's take a look.
Because that's really where this concept comes from. Even though you see it all through Scripture, you literally, New King James translates the last part of Philippians 4:8 with meditate. And I always like the word meditate there. Meditate on these things. These are things, again, that we are consciously, intentionally dwelling on these kinds of things. And it's not just anything. It's not like just fill your brain with cobwebs or fill it with dirty music or fill it with, sinful lyric videos or whatever. There are specific things here that we are to be filling our minds with. Let me just read the verse.
Okay.
Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or again think on these things.
Now, are we to consider those as individual pieces, or should whatever we're going to be meditating on meet every single one of those?
Well, I think they form a bigger picture. I think you do have maybe some individual pieces there, but the individual pieces form a bigger picture. You know, Pilate asks an interesting question in John 18. He asks Jesus, "What is truth?"
Yeah.
Was he being facetious? Was he being sarcastic? Did he really care? Did he want to know? Was it the philosophy of his day that you can't know? And this kind of goes back to, you know, where we started our podcast, this concept of relative truth,
yeah,
relative subjective truth. Well, can we know truth? Paul tells us here that we can, that we need to be thinking on those things that are true things. They're not things that are false, but we need to be dwelling on things that are true.
So then I would say that there are probably some things in life that we might participate in that might masquerade as good things, but ultimately they do not meet these requirements here. And one of the things that I have brought up before has been yoga. It masquerades as a good thing, I would say. And the exercise itself is good. But there are several mantras and things that you're to repeat while you go through whatever session you're doing. And the first question I would have to ask is, are those true?
Well, somebody says, well, it's just stretching. And they've really not dove into the history of yoga. They've really not dove into the history of traditional Eastern religion, that all of these different poses are stretches, if you want to call them stretches. They're poses, and each one of them bows down to a different god, to a different Hindu deity. And a lot of that has come over into the New Age movement. So someone says, well, it's just stretching. You lost me there because you haven't explored that further, because it's not just stretching. Often in these studios, they'll have a place set up with candles lit and music playing at the front of the yoga studio that they call an altar. So it's clear that you are presenting your body in this stretching, form, in this bowing form, and you're presenting yourself as having something to offer, whether it's music, whether it's bowing, whether it's lighting of candles, whether it's concentrating. A lot of people in our world today have been duped into thinking that it's just stretching. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, there is. Just dive into it a little bit. I can speak at some length with a family member of mine who has experience in this, and I'll tell you that it's more than just stretching. And they would tell you that it's more than just stretching, that there is deification of the human body that's involved there. There is New Age philosophies that are involved there. There are ancient pagan religions that are involved with that. And again, maybe we need to explore a little bit those things that we just so readily accept that are going on in our culture. Maybe dive into them a little bit.
Right, yeah. So we're meditating on those when we attend, and if we attend every day or every week, you know, we're getting regular dose of that. And from a biblical standpoint, that would not be true or honorable.
I would ask a Christian person this: are you going to the yoga studio more than you're going to worship, more than you're coming to Bible class? And if so, that's a problem. I think there's a problem with doing any of it. But I would say, especially when you look at one laid against the other, and a lot of times somebody's going two or three or four times a week, it's not true. It's not noble. It's not lovely. There's nothing virtuous and nothing praiseworthy in it. We could be spending our time exercising in other ways, or we could be spending our time meditating on God's word, or again, it's a form of modern day idolatry that a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah. I think a distinction should be made. Stretching and exercising in and of itself isn't wrong. But the act of bowing before an altar to some Hindu god would be.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful with these things. And that's why I began this thought with the idea of masquerading, right? They masquerade as good. And there is benefit in the stretches themselves, but not from a biblical Christian standpoint when we're talking about filling our minds with things that are true or honorable or good or noble or lovely.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word noble there means things that cultivate dignity, godliness, or moral excellence. And a scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart, or guard, or treasure your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth the issues of life."
Well, then there you go. It's a lack of diligence then if we're going to be attending things that we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
We have not been diligent nor vigilant when we attend such things and we haven't bothered to check to see what's going on and what's this all about.
Yeah, what's the history of this? What's the background of this? How am I expected to dress? Especially when we're dealing with yoga, that would be another thing. They yoga pants have made quite a big stir in our culture, rightly so. You don't get on Twitter and look up yoga pants and find yoga pants folded laying on a rack or laying on a shelf somewhere in a department store. You see somebody's rear end and their legs filling them out. So am I expected to dress immodestly? Have I really dove into the history of this? Do I know what I'm doing? Do I understand what I'm doing? And it's things like that that Christians need to take into account. Again, if there's any virtue means moral excellence there.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with. Anything praiseworthy. Well, who are we praising? Are we praising God? Are we praising ourselves? Are we praising another human being? Are we praising our culture? What is it? Paul's referring to God. We need to do things every day that bring glory to God. And many of the things that we're involved in our culture, they don't bring glory to God. I would say they detract from God's glory when we find ourselves involved in them.
Yeah, completely agree. So we'll talk about some ways that we can transform our world when we're thinking on these things in our third segment. We'll be right back.
You know what time it is. It's almost time for the Daily Bible Reading Challenge here at the Dexter Church of Christ. All through the year of 2023, we will be reading through the Bible together. That's right. Daily Bible Reading Challenge. Read your Bible every day. Here's some things you can do to prepare for the Daily Bible Reading Challenge. Start your reading plan a little early. Set aside a routine every day. Get up early. Stay up late. Get rid of distractions. We want you to read prayerfully, to read slowly and repetitively. Listen to an audio Bible while you read. Use multiple
translations. More important, don't get stressed or overwhelmed. Stick to the daily Bible reading plan that has been given to you. And it's our prayer that this engagement with God's Word leaves you transformed.
And we are back. Transformed Podcast, Segment 3. We're going to be talking about how we can transform our worlds by the things that we think on, the words that we say, and the actions that we undertake. We were talking about yoga in our second segment, and it's very popular. And I just wanted to comment on one more thing here. We were talking about diligence and being vigilant as well, guarding our hearts. And I think, you show up on the judgment seat, you're there standing before God, and he says, why have you bowed to these other gods for 30 years of your life? And you say, I didn't know.
It was just stretching.
Then he's going to add, he could say that too. But then I think the next question is, did you have the ability to know? Mm-hmm. And your answer is going to be yes.
Well, I think many times, let me talk about this for a minute. I think many times we are more willing to make excuses than we are to remain ignorant. Right? So rather than just saying, I didn't know, we're going to make excuses. Adam and Eve in the garden made excuses. Cain made excuses. Saul made excuses, right? All throughout Scripture, you see people who, when they are confronted with the truth, they made excuses.
Yeah, over and over. And that's going to be us as well when we don't want to make a sacrifice where we really should. And that's where we get into the affecting and transforming our world, is that we need to be people that make the sacrifices to be the kind of people who follow God. That can be hard. I'm not going to say that's easy, to give up something that you really, really want, even though it's the wrong thing.
That brings us back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
That's what all of this is about. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There are people, so-called Christians, who have never sacrificed anything to follow God. Is it possible to be a Jesus follower and never sacrifice anything?
Not a follower, no.
You can be a fan.
Yeah.
You can wear a cool necklace that says, I love Jesus, or you can wear the t-shirts, right? But if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to make sacrifices. We have to be a distinctive in what we fill our minds with. We have to be distinctive. We have to be intentional. That's part of what we're going to talk about, unpack that concept Sunday. We have to be intentional with these things, a deliberate, conscious choice that we stand up for what is right. I think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 1,
yeah,
that he purposed in his heart beforehand,
mm-hmm,
that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. That's a thought process. He had already decided, I'm going to be confronted with this, I'm going to be confronted with that, but I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm not going to do that which would bring dishonor to myself and dishonor to my God.
Yeah, and there's this other scripture as well that we see all over the place. It's on picture frames and on wall decals in our homes or other places. But it's, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? That's a very popular one.
Yeah.
But Joshua is doing the exact same thing. He's predetermining, this is my decision,
mm-hmm,
going forward in all things that come my way, whether it be my own desires or enemies without, right? We will serve the Lord, whatever that looks like, whatever we have to do. And many of us, when we're not making those sacrifices, when we're not turning ourselves to God in the manner that we should, we end up looking like the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think of Matthew 23 and verse 25, where Jesus tells them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside," so in your inner being, right? Inside, "they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing when it comes down to making sacrifices. If you're not willing to give up anything, then you're full of self-indulgence.
Yeah. Well, let's talk maybe about, as we close the episode today, let's talk a little bit about the positive and the negative side. Let's start with the negative, and then we'll end the episode today on a positive note. What may be some things as far as in the realm of entertainment, in order to think wholesome and think virtuous things, to think praiseworthy things, what are some things that we need to get rid of, some areas where we may need to adjust some things in our life?
Pretty much anything that's, if it's rated R, throw it out. If we're talking TV, it's rated MA, you're not watching it anymore. Right, because you're not going to find anything in today's world with those ratings on it that would be anything good or wholesome to watch.
Even less than that, man, the PG-13 is not what it used to be.
True.
The TV-14 is hadn't been a lot of good in a long time.
Where it's headed is, if you're not watching little kids shows, and some of those are even some questionable. If you're not watching those, you might as well not have it,
yeah.
Right? And that's where my family's gone, actually, is that we don't have the TV, the cable.
No.
It's gone.
Well, ours is the same way. We haven't done that. We got rid of that 4 years ago in our family, and we have a Roku, and we can pick and choose what we watch on there, and we try to watch, creation-inspired documentaries, or we try to watch World Video Bible School, things that unpack, Bible archaeology and things like that.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds so foreign to people, but look, sports is idolatry in our country. I got out of sports because it became an idol in my life. And it took over. I played. I coached competitively. I reffed competitively, and I watched. I watched a lot more sports than I needed to. I coached a lot more sports than I needed to, and I refereed a lot more sports than I needed to. And people have a hard time sacrificing things that they're holding on to. And for me, I just ripped it off like a Band-Aid, just completely got rid of it.
Yeah.
It was taking time away from my family. And like I said, it had become an idol in my life. When you're having to make the choice to go to practice or to go to a ball game on Sunday or on Wednesday night instead of going to worship, my friend, it's become an idol in your life as well. And I know people get a little fussy when I talk about sports, but that's the reality of it. And I can tell you from that angle, Michael, because that's where I was at.
Yeah,
it was an idol in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see it's become an idol in the lives of many Christians.
Yeah. Let me tell you about a real conversation that I had over the Thanksgiving break. I went down to my brother's house, and they were talking about some particular Star Wars show on there. I think it's called Andor. Anyway, they were telling me, that I needed to watch it, that it was really good, and that, it's on Disney Plus. And I told them, well, I don't have that. They said, it's like $8 or something. Like, why don't you have it? Right. I said, well, that's just not something that, we're going to do. And it was an awkward conversation, right? They don't understand why it wouldn't be something that we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the Netflix. We don't have Hulu. We don't have any of that. The only thing we pay for is something that's called PureFlix, where it's Christian material, and even some of that isn't exactly accurate or true. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing that we have. And let me tell you, you know, when you have all these things in your life and you're looking at it from the perspective of, I have to give up so much. Yeah, that's what it looks like, because that's the only part that you can see at the time being. But let me tell you, because I had all those things too, and let me tell you what it looks like once you're on the other side. I don't miss them at all. Not one bit. Yeah. There's not even a TV in our living room, and that's on purpose. That's by design. So that when we sit in the living room as a family, we're looking at each other. That is so much better than staring at some screen. I don't miss them at all.
I think we give our kids phones too young. I've talked about this on a previous podcast. Mm-hmm. And where we can't have a conversation because we have our face on the phone. When you were talking a minute ago, the concept that I don't miss it at all. I don't miss it. I mean, I was the sports guy. I was the guy, I'm umpiring a softball game or whatever, and the fellow umpires are going to come talk to me about the NBA finals the night before, what I thought about this call or this play, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't miss it. It was a distraction, and quite frankly, if I had not gotten rid of those things in my life, I would have been in an unsaved condition right now.
Yeah.
And that's really what Jesus is dealing with the rich young ruler. What do I lack? Jesus says, this one thing you lack. Are you willing to look at God's word and honestly say, you know, we need to get rid of this show. We need to get rid of these movies. Are you going to be the ones with your friends to say, I can't watch that. I can't listen to that. You guys shouldn't go watch that. Well, we're going to go watch this movie. I'm not going to go watch it. Is it awkward sometimes having that conversation?
Yeah.
Right around the Thanksgiving table?
Yeah.
About not being engaged in certain type of entertainment? Yeah, it is. I'm not going to lie to you. It is awkward. But that's the whole point of this podcast, based on Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And quite frankly, we started today with, you know, some people have made comments, well, this is kind of stepped on our toes, or it's challenged us, or it's got us thinking. And that's good. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make this a little awkward. We're trying to get you to think outside of your norm. We're trying to get you to think outside of what's culturally acceptable. Yeah. Right? And so that's kind of the negative side of it. Let's get rid of some of these things, movies or magazine or music or whatever it is that we're engaged in. TikTok, man, get your kids off social media, please. Do your kids a favor. Don't plague them with a lifetime of depression and judging and comparing themselves to others. Get your kids off social media. Try it for 30 days. And you will see your kid's attitude improve. I guarantee you.
Oh, I will too. I will too. I can tell you up front, I already know that it will be good, because all of us recognize, you know, I'm going to take a break from the Facebook or the Twitter or whatever. I need one. We recognize when we need one, and we recognize we feel much better. Mm-hmm. So I can already tell you that you'll notice a difference.
Yeah, listen to what Jesus says. Now, well, let's transition out of the positive side of this in closing. Luke 11:34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness.
So we want to be full of light.
We want to put those things in front of us again, going back to Philippians 4:8. That are virtuous, that are praiseworthy. Those are the things we want to be putting in front of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
There are so many thoughts that we could have and decide to dwell on and decide to speak and decide to act on that are negative or horrible in some way. We have so much negative. We have more negative. I said this earlier. We have more negative than we could shake a stick at, yeah. Right? And so how do we have these good things that fill our body with light? Either we have to find them, we have to create them, we have to actually, go outside, pick them up and bring them into our life, so to speak. Yeah. Right? Like, we have to choose them.
Yeah.
And if the only place, because think about this for a moment, some of y'all might be young listeners, I don't know, and your family life is, there's no good to be found in it at all. The only good you could find would be in the Word of God. That's all you have. Okay. Then you make sure you have that in your life and you read it every single day and you stay in it and you fill yourself with good and you fill yourself with light and you forsake everything else that you can to preserve the good and the light within you. Then that's what you do. But it's a choice. It's something that you have to choose. It's something that you have to want, and it's something that you have to be diligent about. And you have to really want it. It's no different than, we were talking about this too earlier. It's no different than therapy, right? It's never going to benefit you if you don't actually want it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same. It's the same with thinking on these things, right? It's a decision. It's something that you have to want, and if you want it, you'll do it. If you want it, you'll make time for it. If you want it, it will stay with you. And so we have to choose it.
I think God's word is a good place to start. Anytime we're trying to do something intentional for God's glory, God's word is a good place to start. Think on these things. And so we put God's word into our life and we're able to say those things that are wholesome, and we're able to respond in a different way. And you and I have talked about our past life. We didn't always do everything perfect. Nobody does. But the fact of the matter is that the difference between me and somebody else is I was able to see when I was getting in too deep into something. And I had my wife help pull me up out of some of the garbage that I was in. Maybe you need that. Maybe you need a friend, you need a spouse, you need a preacher, you need an elder to help pull you up out of the garbage that you've got yourself in. And again, it goes back to that intentional choice. Mm-hmm. If I'm choosing sports over worship, then sports may be an idol in my life.
Yeah.
If I'm choosing practice over spending time in prayer or doing our daily Bible reading challenge that we're getting ready to start. Somebody says, I was at practice until 9 and I came home and showered and did a little homework and I didn't have time to read my Bible. Guess what? You may have found an idol, my friend.
Yeah.
So we want you to transform the way you think about yourself, the way you think about others, the way you think about God's word, and make positive changes in your life that bring you closer to God. Is it easy? No. Is it going to be difficult? It is. But let me ask you this question. Is eternity worth it?
Yes.
Eternity's worth it.
Eternity's worth it. And so I've heard someone say this before. Some of the most difficult things that we could find to do are some of the most worthy things that we could find to do.
Yeah, sure.
So choose the hard things. Make the difficult decision for your good and for the good of those that are near you and for the good of those that are not near you.
Maybe you'll influence someone around you to change their lives for the good. And maybe you can be the person who is like a little pebble who is dropped into the pond
And that little pebble creates a ripple that spreads out and spreads out and spreads out. That is the culture that we're trying to capture and we want to cultivate here in the Dexter Church.
Yes, sir.
And I think we may have a couple special episodes before the beginning of the year. We've kind of hashed some things out, but maybe unpacking the daily Bible reading challenge. But this is the season two finale. And we hope you enjoyed season two. You got any closing words?
Love you guys. We want you to be closer to God. And we hope that we're helping you do that.
That's it. That's our only goal. Live transformed.